If you are struggling with brain fog or chronic fatigue, you know that making decisions is significantly harder when you have brain fog. That's why on today's episode, I'm sharing with you my top 5 tips for making decisions with brain fog. Life doesn't just stop just because you're not feeling well, so these tips are designed to help you make the best, most confident decisions you can, even when you haven't reached the end of your healing journey yet. Hey friend, welcome to the Better Belly Podcast. If you're currently trying endless supplements, doctor visits, and diet changes to heal your mystery symptoms, you are in the right place. We're here to solve the real root causes behind your gut, hormones, skin, sleep, and brain concerns, literally anything and everything in your body. My name is Allison Jordan. I'm a functional medicine practitioner that has supported over 150 clients just like you to heal problems that no one has been able to fix. You don't need a perfect diet or a random supplement you found on Instagram to heal. You need a proven system that heals your whole body from the inside out. That's what I'm here to share with you, episode by episode. It's time to make health easy again. And just as a reminder, this information is not meant to diagnose, manage, or treat disease. Always consult with your own health practitioner before you make any changes to your health. Okay, guys, I am so excited for today's episode. I had the idea for this episode back in December 2023, if you're listening to this in the future, when I had a client come to me in my clinic, and he, to me, was clearly a perfect fit for the Better Belly Blueprint, which is our signature program for clients to get rid of problems across their entire body, from the gut, hormones, skin, brain, etc., you name it, it helps it. He was a clear fit for it, and yet he was having a really hard time feeling confident in making that decision. And his main reason he said he was struggling with it was just his chronic brain fog, which to him was one of his top symptoms. And when he left my office, I had given him a couple pieces of advice on making decisions with brain fog. But then I thought, wow, I've never shared that information on the podcast. It's something that I've used in my own life when I've been really sick and developed these tips that I rely on. Relied on a lot more when I was super sick in 2015, 2016, but I still use these decisions even now that I'm healthy. I still use these things because honestly, everybody in their life is going to come across a point in time, and we frequently do, whether it's in a day or in a week or in a month, where we are in decision fatigue. Decision fatigue is a real problem that psychologists have studied on why it happens and how it happens. But basically, it means that after you've made too many decisions, your brain kaputs out and it just can't crunch the numbers anymore. And so everybody's got a different threshold for making decision fatigue. One of the things, or before they get to it, one of the things that researchers have even looked at is looking at people who have lots of decisions to make, like CEOs and surgeons, especially really high stake decisions. How do these people make decisions? What happens when they maybe don't make decisions as well as they had been because they're in decision fatigue? It's a fascinating area of study, and it's something I've looked into just as an interesting area of study, let alone just practically how to make decisions. And it becomes even more important when your number of decisions you can make confidently really shrinks. Especially, you might even be to a point where you feel like any decisions you make are not clear to you. And that's especially true once you're in brain fog. But there are 5 things that I have found have helped me and my clients make decisions better, even when you're not feeling your best or performing at your highest. So without further ado, I'm going to share these 5 things, but also I do really encourage you, if you're listening to this and you are not driving, but you're doing something where you can take a break and just write something down, pull out your phone, pull out a piece of paper, pull out a sticky note if you have to, write down just these 5 things, just the headers, because the other thing is if you have brain fog, and honestly, even if you don't, we can forget some of them. So I do encourage you to just write these down. I'm going to say them so you can clearly write them down and know these bullet points, and then that will help you remember them, and you can try to use them at the next time you have to make a decision, which is likely later today for some reason. So we're going going to go grab that paper, pull out your phone, start a new note, and I'm going to start sharing these. So number one is know your best brain time and make decisions then. So what does knowing your best brain time mean? This is the time of day where you know you consistently have the best and most clear thinking. For me, this is in the morning. So I actually record my podcast on Wednesday mornings because I have the best thinking then. And I want to think really and speak really clearly to you guys on a nice Wednesday morning and get my best thoughts into my podcast episodes. I love making decisions or crunching through data, whether it's about something related to my home or my health or my family, my daughter, daycares. There's all these different things we can think about. And the bigger the decision and the more important it is for me to think clearly, the more I'm going to say, I'm going to think about that some morning this week. And it could be a work day, a weekday, it could be the weekend, but I know morning's going to be the best time. So I know my best brain time is morning. For you, what I want you to do is think through your days and start to evaluate, when do you know you typically have the best brain time? And this is going to be true for anyone, even if they're not sick, right? Everybody's got a best brain time. Everybody's got a best energy time. As you get healthier, that best brain time might become larger. Maybe you only have 15 minutes of good brain time a day. Maybe then you can get 4 hours of good brain time. But most of us, all of us, are not going to be like, I don't know, robots with amazing brains the entire day. So don't feel any shame about what your best brain time is. Maybe it's 2 to 4 p.m. That's great. Now you know afternoon's a really great time. Maybe it's 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. after you've had some coffee and gotten going in the day. Maybe it's 6 to 7 a.m. right when you wake up. You just feel really clear-headed right when you wake up. Maybe it's 8 to 10 p.m. right before you go to bed. You get this burst of energy. We're not judging or fixing any of these like energy levels, like it's dysfunctional. Just know this is where you're at right now. Maybe it'll change in the future if you get healthier. Maybe it'll change in the future if there's other things going on in your life, like you have a kid and you're sleep deprived. But just there's no judgment around it. Just know your best brain time. So do a quick mental scan of when do you really feel like, man, I typically get the most done around this time, or I feel the most positive. Sometimes best brain time can also correlate with mood. So it's not just how well you think, but when are you maybe the least despairing? I know that's been some problems that I've run into as I've healed, is just knowing that it's not just the sickness, but it's me feeling more anxious or me feeling more depressed at certain times of day, which makes you not want to make decisions. It makes you want to stay in a freeze mode or paralysis or fight and flight. And so just knowing that mood can be a part of it. Maybe you know there's a time of day where your mood tends to be better. So know what those are, and then you can plan to make decisions. So if you are given a decision, especially a bigger one, like investing money in something, whether it's like a program like the Better Belly Blueprint, or, you know, it's, are you gonna have another kid? Like bigger decisions, you can know you don't need to make it the decision right now. This is not so much about like what to eat for dinner, but it's, you know, a somewhat bigger decision. You can then say, if there's a person waiting for your answer, thank you for asking. Let me think on this for 24 hours. You now know in that next 24 hours, you're going to hit that best brain time and you can think about it then and make a decision then. So that's tip number one. Tip number two is to limit decisions made in a day. And this gets back to the concept of decision fatigue. Everyone's going to deal with it. But when you have brain fog and fatigue and exhaustion, you're going to have fewer decisions you can make in general. So as much as you can, limit decisions. And this can mean things like wear the same types of clothes, have a lot of routines that you do. So it's like, I don't need to make a decision on what I do on Wednesday night. On Wednesday night, I do a load of laundry so that I then have clothes for the next week. If you make your life more of a routine, you have fewer decisions to make. And that's one of the benefits of routines. And that's one of the reasons if you do something like move, change jobs, have some type of life change, start being a student where maybe you hadn't been for the last, you know, however long. But if something happens that's new, that's one of the reasons that it can feel like your life is so discombobulated, because you're not running on routines. So limit decisions by increasing the number of routines you have, everything from the clothes you wear to the food you eat. In my family, I'm not dealing with brain fog too bad, right? But But one of the things I find is because I'm running a business and I'm working with clients with complicated cases, or I'm doing a lot of, I really rely on my brain during the day. We pretty much buy the same ingredients for food, the same types of meat, the same vegetables. We cook them in different ways. We have a whole list of recipes that we like to cycle through. But we have just the go-to stuff so that we don't have to think real hard about cooking in our family, for example. And that's one of the ways that we've routinized things. So there's honestly whole podcasts and whole places that you can learn more about creating routines. One of the places I love is Systemize Your Life. That's a podcast. And that podcast has amazing content on how to develop routines in your life, from everything from laundry to things around food to things around kids. I'll also include a link, a couple of links we have in here on how I grocery shop using in less time per week than most people, and how I create meals and cook. And so I'll include those as well. But this is a progression thing. You can't just be like, I'm just going to limit decisions. Like you're going to always have decisions to make in a day, but if you can limit them by making a lot of things like very clear, like, I just clearly know I'm going to wear this clothing tomorrow, or I very clearly know that I'm going to eat this food. Those are a lot of decisions you have to make in a day that if they're already pre-made, you've limited them. So another way that you can limit decisions, and this is actually a third tip, is you're going to delegate decisions. Delegating decisions is really hard for people who are type A, and a lot of times when there's brain fog and you are type A, you do not want to give up control. And when you delegate decisions, it requires trust in other people. But examples of, you're like, well, I don't delegate decisions, Allison. I'm not like, that sounds like something like an employer would do. I don't employ anyone. You don't have to employ anyone. You don't have to pay anyone money to delegate decisions. Great people you might delegate decisions to might be a roommate. Like, if you guys have to pick what to eat tonight and you guys sometimes collaborate, you say, hey, what do you want to eat? Another person might be a spouse. This might be getting input on something. Maybe it's not even them fully making the decisions, but you can use their brain to help think through the problem for you a little bit. And this is where it can be really great that you surround yourself with people who are for you. If you are not married, as you're considering who to get married to, like, pick someone who you really trust how they think. They shouldn't just be attractive and, I don't know, maybe make money or be funny, but hopefully they also can think really great. And that's been something hugely helpful for me with my husband. If I get into decision fatigue, he can help me think through things or make decisions that I trust. The other thing is that if he gets tired, maybe he didn't sleep well, or he's in his decision fatigue state, I can help him think through things and activate so that we can together work through things. So this is normal for people to share this type of stuff. I'm not wanting this to sound like something crazy, like you're delegating decisions and so you're being irresponsible, but you're working together with other people. Maybe you have a coworker. If you're trying to make a decision at your workplace about something, you could say, hey, I need to pick a time where we're going to have this event at our workplace. I've been thinking about doing it on this day or this day. Do you feel like one of these is better? And just start to group think. That's one of the benefits. You don't have to put all the pressure on yourself to make every single decision, even if it's solely about your life. Like, hey, grab a friend who you feel like is a great thinker and say, like, I need to make a decision about my health. This is what's going on in it. I am considering working with this person or this person. These are the price points. These are, you know, this person said I need to heal in this way. This person said I need to heal in that way. Here's pros and cons that I see. What do you think? And you can make it more objective, like making a decision, especially, for example, around your health. If you've already feel like you've made bad choices, or that you made a choice that didn't work, and you can have all this wounding and fear around making decisions, you can bring in somebody who's not you, who didn't make those decisions, and they can just add a little bit of objectivity to making decisions. So that's another way you can delegate decisions, and not necessarily saying you are putting all the responsibility of the decision on somebody else, but your brain, your group thinking, you're, you know, tossing an idea on the wall and letting somebody else think about it with you. And sometimes maybe you'll just let them make the decision for you if it's not that big of a deal, or you feel like, you know, honey, this week I actually knew we needed to make food in our family by Tuesday night because we prep a big meal that we can then eat for a couple days, and we were going to be out of food and we needed to eat something by Tuesday. And I had pre-thought a couple ingredients that I knew we had on hand to make food with, but there was a lot going on. And I was like, this is what I'm thinking of cooking, honey, told my husband. And then I'm like, can you make this, or what type of sauce do you think? I could not for the life of me think of a sauce to make. I was in decision fatigue. And he's like, well, I think something Asian would taste really great. And he made this amazing lo mein dish with the ingredients that I had suggested, of like chickpea noodles and some pork and broccoli. And he ended up adding in carrots and onion. And some mushrooms. I had forgotten that we had canned mushrooms in our pantry. And it was an amazing dish. And it was because I allowed myself to remove the pressure of having to think of the meal and invited my husband to help me. And to him, it was a much more obvious solution, just because maybe his brain was slightly more fresh. That's okay. And actually, it's amazing. So number three is delegate decisions. Number four is very closely related to delegating decisions, but it really is its own tip, is decide who to trust. So this honestly, this gets deep to my heart, because I remember when I was really sick back in 2015, 2016, 2017, you're going to all these doctors, gastroenterologists and chiropractors and pelvic floor therapists, and I'm reading blogs and I'm talking to nutritionists, and I'm like really irritated. Nothing's working as I'm healing. I'm wasting time. I'm spending money on people that then isn't working. I'm spending money on probiotics and supplements that aren't helping. And I remember just feeling, I don't know who to trust. And however, as I was working through these things and making some failing in some ways, making some bad decisions about decisions to make about practitioners to work with, I was learning like, here's some signs of maybe people I don't want to work with. I was totally like worked with a chiropractor at one point who like definitely was financially and kind of not doing the right thing with his money. And so I ended up spending money, and it was all so weird with the insurance and how he was charging people not the same rate depending on if they had insurance or not, which is essentially fraudulent. But I learned from that, okay, you want to work with somebody who has a certain vibe to them. Like, I started making decisions more out of how I perceived somebody, not necessarily like I wasn't going to go become a chiropractor and know if somebody was amazing or not, but I started leaning a little bit more heavily on referrals. And I specifically had in my mind, I decided I wanted a chiropractor who would give muscle exercises, and both to stretch and to strengthen muscles, because I knew enough about the body that I determined that that was really important for me, and that was going to be a good sign that a chiropractor wasn't going to do what I call a crack and kick you out. And I was explicitly asking my friends, do you know any chiropractors who also give exercises when they work with you? And everyone's like, no, we don't know anyone. And I would call up chiropractors and say, do you give exercises? And they'd say, no, we don't. And they try to sell you on like whatever they do, but we do this and this. And I'm like, that's okay, bye. And I finally found one, and he is the best chiropractor, and I refer lots of clients to him because of that. And so, or because I found him and I had that one decision criteria that I decided was going to be very important, I leaned on referrals, I asked around, and I did have some things where I had failures that had cost me money and hurt my, you know, pride and wasted my time and made me, you know, irritated, but I kept moving forward. So if you make failures, so if you make decisions that you look back and you're like, that was clearly not the right decision to make because it didn't work, or because the person ended up being, you know, not a good person to work with, especially in terms of your health, that's okay, but you have to move forward. And that's one of the things I find when this tip, deciding who to trust, when this one gets burnt, the worst thing I see happen to people is they don't trust anyone ever again, and they get stuck. You get frozen in your healing pathway because ultimately, you have to trust somebody else. You have to trust a blog, whether it's a blog post you're going to try to DIY, whether it's trusting yourself to find the decision, you have to trust somebody. Whether you know it's a doctor who's taking insurance or not, you ultimately are trusting them. And if you're making all your decisions on who's the cheapest, not necessarily who's the best, you will stay stuck in that healing frozen state. And that's what I end up seeing is that if people are making decisions and it's not out of trust, it's out of other factors like who's the cheapest, who's going to cost me the least. And that might not actually get you the healing you're wanting, and it'll keep you stuck. And then you'll keep feeling that you're like on a hamster wheel, reliving person after person you're seeing, practitioner after practitioner, therapy after therapy. And it's because you haven't learned to, you haven't decided to trust somebody. You've just decided to risk mitigate, which there is some risk mitigation when you're making decisions of any kind. But really the best ones is where your heart fully says, I really trust this person. Even though it's going to cost me something, I think it's going to make a difference. And that's where I start to see the biggest difference in healing in like my own life, where that chiropractor who I had one person refer me to, and he met up some requirements that I really wanted. He was not cheap and he did not accept insurance. It was the biggest investment I'd made at that time in my life, in my early 20s. And yet it has changed my life in terms of my neck, my knees, my ability to run and be pain-free. So deciding who to trust is huge. And there, the best advice I have on how to be led in that is to pick up, I don't want this to sound too woo-woo, but pick up vibes on this person, right? Do they seem genuine? Are they giving you as much detail as they can? They might not be seem like the smartest person, but are they kind? Or are they, you know, do they have good boundaries? Maybe they don't give you all the time in the world to ask every single question, but they have good boundaries. Because if they have good boundaries with you and they say, hey, you know, this is great that you're asking all these questions. It's the end of your appointment. I need to meet with the next person. It just means that when it is time for you to need something from them, because they've had good boundaries, they will have something for you. So there's all these like weird benefits, but decide who to trust when you've decided that, whether it's help your spouse or a coworker, a friend of yours who can help you think through things, you can help delegate decisions. And honestly, when you pick a practitioner to work with, you are delegating decisions to them. You're saying, I have health problems. I don't know how to fix them. I need to delegate to you making decisions, helping me make decisions about my body, what to put into it, whether it's food or supplements. And I'm going to trust you and follow those things. And it, again, doesn't mean just being blind and like doing whatever they say, but to a certain amount, you have to give up some control to ultimately let somebody take some of that pressure of those decisions and work together with you. And it gives you that nice community feeling that you might be looking for, of like, you're not alone in your healing journey. You're not alone in the decisions you're making on a day-to-day basis, but there's other people with you. And that's actually a good feeling. It can be scary because relying on other people does make us a little bit more vulnerable, but it's that vulnerability that also brings us into community. I don't want to get, there's a lot more that could be said on that. Brené Brown has done an amazing job, for example, talking about that. But just as a little pep talk, that if you're having a hard time trusting people, think through, maybe just re-listen to this section that I just shared. See what sticks out to you, where your heart is aching or resonating, and just determine what can you do next to trust someone a little bit more. Is there someone in your life that you actually feel like you could trust, but you just haven't just decided to say, you know, I'm going to trust them. And maybe it's something like you've been listening to this podcast and you're like, I really want to trust Allison, but I don't want to get burned again. But you're like, you know, Allison seems trustworthy. I'm going to take that leap of faith, that step, and work with her and join the Better Belly Blueprint. Maybe it's something else, somebody else in your life that you want to trust to help you make a decision. But enough on that. Deciding who to trust, very important, very helpful, because it's going to help you delegate decisions and honestly start to do more, get more support in thinking, which is a real thing. The last one is, so number 5 is rest. And I don't want this to sound like a cop-out, like, Allison, I can't rest. And anytime I sleep, I don't feel rested. And I wake up and I'm that. Yes, that can be a thing when you're not feeling well. But If you are, you know, at the end of your day and that's not your best brain time and you are tired, definitely don't make decisions. You don't need to force yourself to make decisions when you're feeling your worst. I delegate the most when I'm just like out. My brain is just out. I'll say, I'm going to respond to this tomorrow morning. I can delegate it by saying, husband, can you help me make this decision? But it's okay to push out a decision. But really what you don't want to do is push it out for forever, because first off, that's going to put a lot of psychological burden on all the decisions you're not making that are waiting for a decision. And that can actually be super stressful and draining. The other thing is you're not going to move forward in life. And so if you're putting off decisions about, are you going to move somewhere? Are you going to get a new job? Are you going to work with this practitioner? You know, are you going to tell this guy that you want to break up with him? There's all these decisions that can, big and small, that can just pile up. So we don't want to delay it in, we don't want to delay it for forever, but rest can be an okay decision to make. So this is my permission that if you are feeling tired and you're having a hard time making decisions, especially if it's like the worst part of the day for you, or you've had a really long 2 or 3 days because of working 10-hour shifts, nursing back-to-back days or something, just take a couple hours to rest or a day before coming back to a bigger decision. So those are my 5 tips. Know your best brain time. Make decisions then. 2, limit your decisions made in a day, particularly by routinizing things and delegating if you can. 3, delegate decisions as a specific tip. 4, decide who to trust. And 5, do rest and then just come back to the decision. So I want to follow up. I opened this by sharing about a client who had come to me in December and felt like he couldn't join because his brain fog was so severe and he just didn't feel confident in his choice to join. And I gave him some tips on brain fog, specifically making decisions while in it. And he left. I didn't hear from him for a long time. And just this past week, he actually came back to my office, which I was like, wow, coinciding with the fact that I was going to record this episode on Wednesday. I got to see him just the day before on Tuesday. And what had happened is he had passed through all the stress and distraction of the holidays and just kind of went on survival mode. So he delayed the decision. He had tried a couple of new therapies. One had worked enough that it reduced his brain fog so he could think clearly. This doesn't always get to happen, but that is the goal, right? That you find some therapy that starts to reduce the brain fog enough that you then can start making more decisions, that you don't have to rely on all these 5 tips as much, but the brain fog actually starts to alleviate. This is one thing that happened to him. His brain fog alleviated just enough that he very clearly, when he went back to his notes he had taken on, because he had written all these notes down, when he went back to look at his notes on our program, the Better Belly Blueprint and Better Belly VIP, which the Better Belly VIP is our top tier level of the Better Belly Blueprint, where instead of you analyzing your own labs and creating a customized health plan through our online video library, one of our coaches, like me right now, does it for you. We do it for you. Then that's what he really wanted to do. He even said in his first appointment in December, this is what I want to do, but I just can't think clearly through it. I was like, okay, take your time. He left, got through the crazies of the holidays, started thinking better a little bit on his own. And it was immediately clear to him that this was the right thing. He came back and said, this is what I want to do. He had a couple questions for me. We answered them and then he was on his way. So he's now in the Better Belly VIP. And I am so excited because his brain fog is going to keep getting better now that he's in here. And it's going to stay better because that is how our program is built. He doesn't have to stay on supplements the rest of his life or a super mega restricted diet. We're actually going to heal his body from the inside out. He's going to maintain those wins. So if you want to know more about brain fog, where does it come from? What causes it? What to do about it? I have a whole episode right previous to this one, episode 188, called Where Does Brain Fog Come From? 5 causes of brain fog and what to do about it. Go listen to that. If you want to get rid of your brain fog today and start that process, I want to encourage you, join the Better Belly Blueprint and you can reduce your brain fog by 80% in 3 to 6 months. That is our average improvement rate for our clients when they join. And it's not just for brain fog. We're also seeing it with hormones, with gut health, with skin problems, with mood instability, so like anxiety. We're seeing it across the board in whole body healing because that is how the blueprint's set up. You can, if you're ready to join the Better Belly Blueprint or Better Belly VIP, go to betterbellytherapies.com/blueprint or click the link in the show notes and you can join today. And lastly, if you want to know exactly how the blueprint works, to not just heal your brain fog, but your whole body, go to betterbellytherapies.com/training. And I have a free training where I break down all the steps inside of the Better Belly Blueprint so you know how it works before you join. You don't have to guess. You don't have to wonder. You can see exactly what's inside it and why it works so differently compared to other therapies that doctors are using, whether it's conventional doctors or alternative doctors. So go to betterbellytherapies.com/training and you can watch that video today. So today's episode went a little longer, mainly because I ended up going more in depth on each point than I had planned. So I hope that was helpful and not too much details, especially when there is some brain fog. If not, that's why I really encouraged you to just write down the bullet points of the top tips so you can just remember those things and keep them in mind and just try one new tip today. Try one new tip. Know your best brain time. Do you know that brain time? Write it down. Plan it in your calendar. Limit your decisions made in a day. Delegate decisions. Decide who to trust and rest. And I hope this really helps you and empowers you because, yeah, like decisions aren't going to wait for you to heal. Healing is the goal. But here's some tips so that you can make things better in the meantime and know that even once you're fully healed, you're going to have times where it's hard to make decisions. So here's to learning how to trust, moving forward with boldness and courage, and honestly getting progress in life and not getting stuck in paralysis, analysis, fear, or lack of confidence. So I hope you guys love this episode. If you are new to the podcast, please do subscribe. We have even more content coming out next week. If you are new and you're like, wow, you have over 100 episodes, what's in them? We have a free vault where we have organized all our episodes by category. So constipation, acid reflux, mental health, all sorts of stuff. So go to betterbellytherapies.com/get the vault and you can get the vault sent directly to your email. We update the vault every month. And so you don't have to worry about, you know, the vault not having newer episodes coming out. So just go to betterbellytherapies.com/get the vault or click the link in the show notes and you can get all of our previous episodes. Otherwise, I will catch you guys next week. Hey friend, I hope you loved this episode. If you've been a fan for a while or newly loving this podcast, can you do me a favor? Drop into Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. When you leave a review, you do so much. You help me know you're listening. You can tell me what you're loving so I know what to make more of. And you help others by boosting this podcast so other people like you can find the podcast too. I mean, it's a win-win-win, right? So if you want a way to pay it forward, just go to Apple Podcasts or click the link in my show notes and leave a rating and review. And if you want some more free stuff, just head over to my free Facebook group, betterbellytherapies.com/Facebook, and you can get access to all of my free support for you, including some Facebook group exclusive stuff like my podcast episode vault, where you can search the Better Belly podcast by topic and find exactly what you need to expedite your healing. I cannot wait to see you in there. Catch you guys next week.